what was wrong with those people in Jerusalem? What was wrong with them? How could they go from calling Jesus King and Savior and Lord one day and hours later calling out for Him to be crucified? How could they do that? One simple reason. They were thinking too small. They could only see what was right in front of them. See, they had a problem. They were sure they had a problem, one problem and one problem only. Their problem was Rome. Rome was a foreign occupying power, took over their country, and they wanted Rome out. So, they were willing to back anyone, everyone, who showed any hope of leading a revolt to kick out Rome. They were looking for a new King David figure. In this nation's history, somebody like George Washington, who would rally the troops and lead a revolution and kick Rome out. And instead, what did they get? They get this hearts and flowers Jesus, who talks about love, forgiveness, caring for the poor. If you have two coats, give one to somebody who has none. Ha! Some leader. Some revolutionary that is. Jesus was a disappointment. So they shouted out, next! Because you see, there were lots and lots of would-be messiahs in those days. Every one of them focusing on the immediate here and now, not being able to see anything past themselves. Now, we might like to think we'd be different, right? We might like to say, oh, I would have listened to Jesus. I would have followed Him. I wouldn't have tried to make Him into something He wasn't. I would have been faithful. If that's the case, what do our actions say? Now, we know the opposite of love is not hate, right? It's apathy, indifference, where we simply don't care. So if apathy is the opposite of love, what do our actions say about what we say and think and believe about Jesus? Now, we know that in modern times it has become more and more common to dismiss the whole religion, faith thing as irrelevant, superstitious, and maybe even ignorant. Most agnostics and atheists today, they don't hate God. They just don't care. They just don't care. Many of them will take the position that if God is loving and kind, then God would not allow bad things to happen, and that they assume that God should intervene to protect us and keep us safe. Apparently, these are people who have not raised children. The truth is, bad things do happen, don't they? And it's not as if God is absent. God is present. God is watching. God is with us. But here's what God is not. God is not a meddling helicopter parent who comes running onto the soccer field every time we get a boo-boo. God does not protect us from specific individual events any more than we can protect our kids from the ways they get hurt. But what do we do when our children get hurt? We hold them. We comfort them. And we tell them what? I'm here. I am here. Expecting God to step into our lives to rescue us from every specific event is thinking too small. It's thinking all about me, and it expects God to do something God never said God would do. But you see, our story today tells us what God's love is like. That God would come to us as one of us who would sacrifice Himself to us and for us to set us free. To show and prove God's love for us. Now to me, that sounds a lot more loving than somebody who's going to try to live our lives for us. Now, if you're here today, chances are you're not agnostic or atheist, but what do our actions say? Now, in our times, we don't try to kill Jesus, right? We're too polite, and besides, he's not physically here. We may not even ignore him, but we are tempted to try to water Jesus down. You know how this works. We rationalize our way out of Jesus, who teaches us to love others aggressively, to care for the weak, the poor, the hungry, victims, even if we think they brought their suffering on themselves. Jesus invites us into what he called the kingdom of God, a taste of heaven on earth, where we don't live our lives for ourselves alone, but we actively care for others, where we seek ways of peace instead of getting even, where we try to forgive and where we are gentle with others. And this way, this kingdom of God Jesus talks about, there is contentment and hope and peace. But there's a catch, isn't there? Oh, there's a catch. We don't like to admit it, but part of us simply doesn't want the kingdom of God. We don't want it because we got our own. We got our own kingdom, our own kingdom of me. And that part of us wants to domesticate Jesus into a pet deity who will deliver what we want when we want it, who will never demand any sacrifice or commitment from us, and otherwise just leave us alone. There's part of us that doesn't want to follow Jesus. That part would rather settle for acknowledging Jesus. And instead of living in his way, we will seek rules and laws to follow, settling for a religion, rules and commandments that we can pretend to obey, but are frequently used simply to judge others. So how are we any different? The people back then called Jesus king one day, and when they learned he wasn't going to deliver what they wanted, when he wasn't going to lead a revolt against Rome, they turned on him. Jesus was a disappointment. Crucify him, they shouted. Is Jesus a disappointment for you? Now, I wonder sometimes if we're a little more superstitious than we like to admit. See, if we expect to change, if we expect Jesus to change the world, when what he wants to change is our hearts. See, God coming to us in Jesus, it's not magic, it's love. Jesus shows us what greatness is when he knelt to wash his disciples' dirty feet, when he took abuse from people who didn't understand, people who were disappointed with him. Jesus shows us what love is when he says in his actions, look, if you think you can make me stop loving you, bring it. Give me the best shot you got. Deny me. Falsely accuse me. Spit on me. Beat me. Whip me. Crucify me to death if you think that's going to make any difference. But there is nothing you can do that was going to make me stop loving you. Nothing. I will take it all, whatever you got. If our house is on fire, if you're drowning, we don't need investment advice, right? What we need is saving. Here's our problem. We're so well insulated by our privilege and abundance that we don't know we're drowning in it. We don't know the houses of our own kingdoms are on fire, and we don't know we need saving. Thank God Jesus does not give us what we want. Thank God Jesus brings us what we need. Jesus did not come to change the world. He came to change our hearts. And through us today, with changed hearts, Jesus transforms and redeems, buys the world back. See if these words sound familiar. If you want to follow me, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow. Whoever loves their life in this world will lose it. But whoever loses their life for my sake or the gospel will find it. So what does it profit you if you get everything in the world and it costs you your life? What would you give in return for your life? Jesus has given his life in return for ours.